Hello, and welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that is dedicated to your health and wellness and is currently sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorraine King, and today I have a very special guest that I'll be talking to by phone, Mr. Gary Moore of WPNV radio station is in Washington, D.C. And Mr. Moore, exactly what are you doing in Washington, D.C.?
I am in Washington, D.C. at a National Association of Black-Owned Broadcasters conference. So every year, Black-Owned Broadcasters, people who are African-American and own media properties, radio stations, television stations, digital, you name it, get together and network and talk about how to improve our business product, how to increase sales, et cetera. And also, you know, we just come together for the camaraderie and to lean on each other's shoulders, learn from each other, meeting some wonderful people who have broadcast properties down south, on the East Coast, out west, you name it. So it's a great conference. But in the context of health, because this is How Do You Feel, I was telling you before we were recording about one of the breakout sessions was on mental health and black business. Because in association with the broadcasters, there's the Buy Black conference that's happening simultaneously. And that conference is for business owners. And one of the breakout sessions was on mental health. And I know that's been a big topic of late. And for those of us who do a lot of stuff, those of us whose lives consist of to-do lists, checking off this and that and going from meeting to meeting and Zooming and then your own personal responsibilities as far as taking care of your family and your kids and stuff like that, it can be a lot. And I think a lot of people have felt overwhelmed or are feeling overwhelmed. And so this breakout session was very helpful. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about, and we can expand on that a little later. Another thing, Lorraine, I had an opportunity also to visit the African American Museum, the National Museum, that was recently completed a few years ago. And when I went through, mind you, you start out on the bottom floor, and four floors later, you find out you've been there 3 hours, 4 hours. There is so much history. I can't even begin to share with you the volume of knowledge that you get going through it. It is a must-planned bucket list trip for everybody. I think it's compulsory for people to go through that. You just have to experience it. But when I went through, one of the things that struck me, I thought of my brother, Ralph, who you may have met, who is a psychologist in Chicago. And Ralph maintains that all black people have some form of depression, and that because of our experience in this country, that somewhere on the spectrum, we are all there in some way, shape, or form, depressed in some kind of way. And going through the exhibit, I need to talk to him because, I can see that. I didn't need to go through the exhibit to know that there's some form of depression. But in going through it, you can start to unpack some of the reasons why you may feel certain ways about certain things. So we can talk about that as well. And then another person who I had the opportunity to meet out here is one who's very concerned about African-Americans not getting their COVID shots, their flu shots, their pneumonia shots. You know, we're into that season. And so we can talk about that as well. And you've done programs on that subject lately.
I have. But I want to go back a little bit where you said that your brother said that all black people are suffering from depression. And does that mean the ones that are successful and seemingly doing well, that we all are suffering from this malady because of our historical context?
I believe that's what he means. Yeah, I don't, without exception, without exception. Consider the book by Harold Cruz, The Crisis of the Negro Intellectual. This was written, I want to say, back in the late 60s or early 70s, where he looked at African-Americans who were successful. You know, a lot of people who were the first in their family to go to college, or a lot of people who made it out of the ghetto. The George Jeffersons of the world who are moving on up and have good jobs and that kind of thing. What Harold Cruz talked about was this whole bipolar existence. You're in this successful arena, but your family, you're still tethered to your roots. And a lot of times your roots were in poverty or in environments that are not conducive to you living high on the hog. And your friends who you went to school with, you know, many of them didn't make it out of the ghetto. But you still have a kinship with them. You still have a loyalty to them. And then in terms of your economics, think about the fact, and this has been economically proven, that African Americans of all demographic groups have some of the most difficult times sustaining or generating what's called generational wealth, wealth that you pass on from one generation to the other. And one of the reasons for that is because we are, those of us who are successful, who feel some loyalty to our families, a lot of times Lorene is giving money to her nephew who's in jail, who needs to be bailed out, or giving money to this cousin who has a hard time paying the rent, or giving money to mom or dad or the auntie who helped her out. And so the discretionary income that you may have, that if you were in a different demographic, you might use that to buy yourself a swimming pool or do some other, or take some grand vacation or get with someone of similar income and start a business or whatever. A lot of times our money goes back into our community in a way where it's not going to grow as it is. It's going to help and sustain our loved ones. And so we don't build generational wealth. And as a consequence, you know, our community growth becomes stagnant. My brother, Ralph, you know, talks about a lot of different components of that depression. That's just one aspect of it, an economic aspect.
Pardon me. Is he a psychologist or a psychiatrist?
Psychologist.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, another thing, too, is just think about if you care about your people, how could you not be depressed, right? I mean, if you're an African-American and you care about African-Americans, and you turn on the news every day, how can you not feel some sadness, some depression, some worry, some anxiety, just by looking at the numbers in terms of how disproportionately we're impacted by COVID, disproportionately impacted by poverty, disproportionately impacted by you name it, and we're behind the eight ball on those subjects. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Then when you put that in a historical context and you go through the museum and you start to see the crap, if I can use that word, that we went through in this country for all those years, it's a wonder, as the author Toni Morrison said, yeah, it's a wonder that any of us are still alive, you know. The fact that we survived and thrived in many cases, you know, Maya Angelou and Still I Rise, despite all the crap that we went through. But when you start to take a measurement of the toll that has taken, Man, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot.
Well, I have to confess, in listening to you, that I often become sad when I realize some of the challenges that our youth are not equipped to face and overcome and don't realize it, because I realized when I was young, and I remember doing a lot of reading because I was kind of a loner, and I would read a lot, and it talked about the cycle of poverty. And I made a commitment to myself that I was going to get to college, and I knew the only way I could get there was to win the scholarship. So I had to make sure I kept my grades up so I could escape that cycle of poverty. So I knew the sacrifice and the efforts I had to make to become what you call someone who's employed and able to be self-sustaining and have health care, that our young people don't realize, all the effort that they need to make to do the same thing that we did way back then. So I guess that sadness is kind of a depression. And then the way that, we're taking each other's lives, that's really disturbing.
Yeah. And let's talk specifically about both of those, because, I teach and we're always trying to impress upon young people that the things you do now in school can reap benefits for you later on. I teach music. And a lot of our young people don't know that you don't necessarily have to become a musician to have a career as a musician, but you can get a scholarship to go to college as a trumpet player or as saxophonist or whatever. There are scholarships out there for musicians, right? And I don't know, Lorene, you and I have talked about this before. I think when I talk about both bipolar worlds, you could apply that to media influences too. When you turn on television, you see black people in Target ads and Walmart ads and McDonald's, and you see these glitzy, glam women on these Real Housewives shows, and you see athletes with gold chains and earrings, and it looks like people are doing fine. Everything looks cool. It looks like we're doing all right. And to some degree, we are. But to your point, you got to pay your dues in the real world. When you get out of school, nobody's going to hand you a $60,000 job and put you up in a penthouse or something. No, that's TV. That's Hollywood. That's fake stuff.
Right.
You have to really earn a living, and it comes with, to your point, you started out by keeping your grades up and getting that scholarship, and then you got into college, and then when you get to college, you got to work. You got to do the work. You got to learn. But let's go back though. I don't know what you wanted to be when you grew up, but I think it starts with a dream. I think we have to start instilling in our young people a sense of purpose. Somebody used the term a purposenality. I don't know if I'm speaking it correctly, but like a personality.
Yes.
A purposenality that you have a dream first. I want to contribute something positive to this society, or I want to be something. And whatever that is, then get that education. Carl Cannon, who we love, we honored at our gala, talked about how an education can, to your point, break that cycle of poverty. We are the only country in the world one of the few countries in the world that guarantees a free public education. As flawed as our country is, you can get a free public education. Use it. Use the heck out of it. You and I are from the generation where we talk to young people and we say, people die for you to have this right. People die for you to be able to go to school and die for you to be able to vote and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes that registers with young people and sometimes it doesn't, okay? But the fact is, man, if you can go to school, hang with it, hang through it, drive in it, your future is going to be much, much brighter. You don't, regardless of where you come from, if you can get an education, all kinds of doors open. And the other thing is, in the process of you getting the education, one of the things that you learn by going through college is not just the particular thing that you are going to college for. You know, I want to be an accountant, or I want to be an engineer, or I want to be a, you know, this or that or the other, whatever trade you're learning. One of the things that you learn is you learn how to process information, how to work in a team, how to be a critical thinker. You're exposed to different people from different places. You become more cosmopolitan and just generally more knowledgeable about the world and about life. That's another beauty of going to college. So yeah, we have some work to do in that regard. And the other thing you mentioned about, you know, being depressed, when you look at the news and see us killing each other.
I just want to remind any listeners who may have just joined us that you're listening to How Do You Feel on WPNV 106.3 on your FM dial. How Do You Feel is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. Today, I'm having a conversation with Gary Moore, and we're talking about how our historical context still impacts us yet to this day. We talked about how students don't know how impactful what they're doing now is going to have on their future. And yes, Gary, I don't think that they put in enough sweat equity. But then I think about when you talk about everybody, every African-American is probably suffering from some form of depression. And it might help to explain some of the behavior that's going on now, not good behavior, but negative behavior, because there are mental health issues. And we know that we lack a lot of mental health resources for adults, let alone kids. And then a lot of the anger of youth at not, you know, seeing these commercials you talked about on TV where people are doing well and seeing other people drive around in certain vehicles and they don't have it and they want it. And I think sometimes their anger gets the best of them. And that's why they wind up shooting each other, killing each other. So we want them to interact, but we tell them that people died for them to get this far. And we're not asking them to die. We're just asking them to put in some sweat equity.
Yeah. And, you know, like, we don't, it's all these, the killings, you talk to the police chief, you talk to other community activists who are working with young people who are at risk or who have been involved in violence. And they'll tell you that a lot of times the specific cause of a specific crime can be very specific, you know, an argument over a girl or an argument over a car or something very specific. But when you add up all those numbers, you know, then it's like, wow, you know, it's still this population, this, you know, 16 to 24-year-old African-American, mostly male. And so what is at the root? Let's keep peeling that onion back and finding out what is at the root. And what I was saying was, I think part of the solution is just teaching young people to respect life and that you don't have to resolve your conflicts with violence, that there are other ways to resolve a conflict without violence. But when people feel that depression, when people feel that anxiety that you talked about, and this absence of hope, you know, if you are looking at someone else and they got this, that, and the other, and you don't, and you don't see a way that you can have this, that, and the other, then that's going to be a problem. You have to see a brighter future for yourself. You have to see yourself as being someone who has something positive to offer the world. And that's why early education is so important. You know, at the level to instill in young people. You know, I'm a storyteller, and we tell these stories about, you know, the little boy who thought he was ugly, and he goes to the different animals, and the lion gives him his mane, and the giraffe gives him his neck, and the elephant gives him his trunk, and, you know, he has all these different ugly animal parts, and he's really ugly. And his parents tell him, you know, you have to say, I love myself. I love myself the way I am. And then gradually all these different features go away. And then he stands in the mirror and he says, I love myself, you know, for who I am. So we have to teach that love. But you mentioned something about looking at TV and you know, Dr. King was worried at the time of his death that when we integrated into the site, we would adopt the worst American values, that we would become ugly American, that we would become narcissistic and materialistic. And that it, for us, he wished that we would, first of all, redeem the soul of America, because, you know, that's the important takeaway from the African-American struggle in America, is that we are the redemption of America. People need to know that, white and black. It's a simple statement. We, as John Lewis said, we represent the redemption of the soul of America. This country started out hypocritically. You had Jefferson and Washington and these guys starting this new free country, freedom, justice, equality, blah, 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 all of that, all those beautiful things that Jefferson wrote and what this country is founded on. And at the same time, hypocritically, they were slave owners. Okay, so this country got off on a horrible bipolar note, and the African-American experience is the redemption of the soul of America. As Dr. King said, you know, we want what you wrote on paper. You know, we are trying to make real the ideals that were set out in this country. And if this country can do that, if this country can do right by us, then America redeems its soul, right?
Well, I'd like so to add.
Everybody needs to know that. But my point with that, though, is one of the exhibits that I saw when I was at the museum was Hattie McDaniel, you know, the maid.
Yes.
The lady who played the actress, first black actress to win an Academy Award. She was the maid in Gone with the Wind. And, you know, locally, you know, a lot of people may remember Dr. Romeo B. Garrett had correspondence with Hattie McDaniel. He would write each other. And there's a quote when you go to the museum that's attributed to Hattie McDaniel where she says, because, you know, she got criticized for playing the stereotypical role, the black mammy maid. And the quote says something like, I would rather make $700 a week playing a maid than make $7 a week being a maid.
That's profound. Because I remember when I started out, I think I was making $3 an hour being a maid. I wasn't playing one. I was actually being one. But I want to get back to something, Gary, that you said earlier when you talked about that folk need to realize that they are the redemption for America. And when you talk about that, I think that applies to our youth, too. You also said that you talked about the little boy who learned to say, I love myself. And that's another thing I think more parents need to say to their kids, I love you, you know, and what you can be, and that you represent our future, to give them, you know, that vision that they can make a difference. So I think we need to instill that into our children and start early, like you say, teaching them about the historical context and how, and people who have overcome and how they too can take it another step further. I was at the big table yesterday at the Civic Center, and I listened to entrepreneurs talk about the struggles they had in trying to get their businesses off the ground. But they had this vision and they had this, persistence in them that it wouldn't let them die. And we've got to instill that same kind of spirit in our youth so that they start to respect each other and respect, you know, where we've come from and how much farther we still can go.
Yeah, but let me go back to the Hattie McDaniel thing, and I'd be curious to find out what you think about this. Because to me, it's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. She said, I would rather make $700 playing a maid than to make $7 being one. Okay, so let's look at the latter first. Unfortunately, for years, and my mom was a maid, worked in white people's houses, you know, you did not get a whole lot of career option, okay? If you were black, you were relegated to these menial jobs. And so, yeah, that was a horrible existence, making $7 being a maid when maybe you aspire to be something else, right? Okay. Then she says, I would rather make $700 playing one. All right, well, now, unfortunately, in media during that time, for a long time, that stereotypical role was the only role that you saw black women play in movies, was that Hattie McDaniel role. And so now you are perpetuating a stereotype. You're making money, but you're perpetuating a stereotype. What a heck of a choice, you know? That's cause for depression.
and no services to help you manage that depression.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not then. Last thing I did want to point out, like I said, I ran into a few people here who are very concerned that we as a community have not done our due diligence as far as making sure we stay ahead of these illnesses. And I think we kind of, hopefully we learn, albeit the hard way, when the pandemic was at its height, that we should go ahead and get that shot. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's not going to make you grow a tail, or they're not going to track you with 5G or any of that stuff. Please, we're coming up on a COVID season. This is a virus that we've never seen before. It mutates. And Dr. Anthony Fauci says, you know, we still need to get the virus, the shot, the booster. And if you've already got the vaccination and the booster, maybe time to get that second booster. And yes, there is a possibility that it might be like the flu shot that we get every year. And speaking of which, you know, we're intersecting now into the flu season.
Yes.
And people should be getting that flu shot. Now, I am told, and I didn't know this, forgive my ignorance, you got the pneumonia shot. And some people may want to get that, those who have a compromised immune system. And you should consult your physician in terms of, you know, can you, I think one of the most commonly asked questions is, can you get those together? And I think I remember seeing Dr. Fauci on a program where he said you can get the flu shot and the COVID shot at the same time.
Right.
I don't know what he said about the pneumonia shot.
I don't know, but I know because I have my chart. I constantly get reminder messages. You need to, your pneumonia shot is overdue, or your shingles shot is overdue. And so those who might not have that kind of health care may not get those messages. So we need to do a better job of putting that message out in the community. Because that's how we got rid of a lot of maladies that were killing people before, that people don't even know about now. But some of those are starting to creep back because we're not getting those vaccinations that we should.
Yeah. And then to your point earlier about killing each other, I applaud the City County Health Department for paying for the assessment from Cure Violence. Cure Violence has come into town. I got the opportunity to talk to Dr. Echols at the Carver Center, and they're soon, if they haven't already, going to start doing stakeholder meetings and to do that assessment. assessment to get at the root cause and to see some solutions so that we can do some interventions and meet our young people where they are and see what they need in order to get ahead of the violence and hopefully curb it.
Now, Gary, in the last 30 seconds, I just want to remind people, you talked about getting the boosters. You know, I've gotten both boosters, but now they're saying you need to get a third one because there's another variant out that's even deadlier. I think it's BBX. And so they have already embellished the previous boosters to be able to combat that one. So it's not only important just to get those first two, but also to get the third one to help you be able to fight off this current variant of COVID.
Yeah. And the last thing that I just wanted to say, Lorene, is just that here at the conference, there are some recommendations for people to combat the stress of everyday life. And they include things like driving 5 miles per hour slower, taking a bath instead of a shower, cooking your meals rather than ordering out. Things that basically are putting a speed bump in your day. We all have heard, I'm sure, parking, you know, 15 or 20 or 30 feet away from the place that you're going to. So when you get out the car, you have to walk a little ways. Taking those 20-minute breaks throughout the day just to go to a park and sit, you know, watch a squirrel or watch a child play, you know. I mean, these are all things that bring your mind back to a calm place so that you're not always rushed and stressed and your life is not one to-do list to the other.
Well, Gary, I want to thank you so much for sharing information that you gained from this conference. And I hope that you will be able to share even more once it's done. Because like you mentioned, cooking is something that the entire family can get engaged in. And therefore, you can have conversations and actually find out what's going on in each other's lives. Find out what's impacting your kids. Find out what they might not be talking about because their parents haven't asked. There probably will be a follow-up to this conversation about helping adults and youth with their mental health issues and also getting into the services coming up, I know, with Unity Point, setting up the behavioral unit in West Peoria and helping us to help the youth get their anger under control, because one of the things I think we need to impart to them is self-discipline. And you talked about analyzing things and thinking about cause and effect and that kind of thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to How Do You Feel? Well, we talked to Gary Moore, the programming and
operations
manager and storyteller and all around news maker. Well, he doesn't make the news, but he helps us analyze the news and how we can make things better by knowing what's happening. How Do You Feel is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. It airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday, repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. But if you missed the broadcast, you can go to WPNV.org, the website, look for the podcast page, and you can still hear the broadcast. I want to thank Gary for taking time out to share his experience. And I want to thank those online, but not online, on the radio for listening. I've been your host, Lorene King, and I hope to impart more information to you next time.
Now is always the right time.